Chapter 9, Vanquishing the Kaliya Serpent. One day, Vanamali Krishna left his brother Ram at home and went with his friends to tend the cows and play beside the Jamuna. At that time, the serpent Kaliya, the son of Kadru, lived in a lake within the river Jamuna. Kaliya had taken shelter in the Jamuna, the daughter of Suryadeva, to hide from his enemy Garuda. This venomous snake, the embodiment of the mellow of fear, Bhayaras, existed in Vrindavan like an incurable heart disease. He was like death, waiting as a helpful friend to engage one, or Rudra's fire of devastation that destroys the three worlds. The burning venom of the great serpent Kaliya constantly heated and boiled the waters of the Yamuna. Yamuna Devi felt like she had a black ball of fire within her belly. Indeed, the poisonous vapors thus created polluted the air and caused birds flying overhead to fall down into the water. The entire atmosphere was contaminated by the inauspicious presence of Kaliya, who continually harassed the inhabitants of Vrindavana. The forceful exhalation of fiery poison from his nostrils illuminated the Yamuna's waves with a crimson-golden radiance. The beauty of this scene resembled the waves of the salt ocean glittering under the moonlight. The dense black smoke lingering above the Yamuna indicated the presence of a raging fire within. Nothing could live in the Yamuna except Kaliya's wives and sons due to the calamitous situation caused by the burning poison of that crooked serpent. As one takes shelter under an umbrella, Kaliya stayed safely in a deep lake within the Yamuna. The coward boys and cows sip some water from the Yamuna to quench their thirst. Although the gopas have eternal transcendental bodies by the supreme will of Krishna, they fell unconscious immediately after drinking. Krishna, the destroyer of demons, worried for a moment about his friends, and then quickly revived them with a sidelong glance. It appeared that life-giving nectar dripped from Krishna's lotus eyes. Returning to consciousness, the boys felt astonished and smiled gently. They warmly embraced each other and talked among themselves in great happiness. One coward boy said, "Krishna is wonderful. He rescued us just like he did when we wandered into the cave-like mouth of Agasura. We almost died from drinking that poisonous water, but Krishna mercifully saved us. It seems that he has given Sanjeevani Ras to revive us." After speaking thus, all the gopas looked lovingly at their dearest friend. Since Krishna had descended from the spiritual world specifically due to envious demons, he immediately climbed to the top of a very tall tree beside the Jamuna. That tall Kadamba touched the clouds and kissed the sky. With a desire to crush the pride of Kaliya, the incomparable and inconceivable Lord Krishna prepared himself for a fight. He gathered his locks of hair, retied his turban, tightened his belt, and clenched his lotus hand into a fist, eager for victory. Krishna's tender body and slender waist displayed the prime of his joyful youth. Totally relaxed, Krishna gently said to the coward boys, "Do not be afraid, my friends. My transcendental effulgence will dispel all misfortune. Just wait here and watch the cows." His face illuminated by a row of radiant teeth, Krishna beamed a confident smile. With his fathomless intelligence and charming characteristics, Krishna easily removes the pride and arrogance of materialistic people. Krishna enthusiastically leaped into the Yamuna, just as a kingfisher dives into a river to catch its prey. Krishna's forceful plunge pushed the Yamuna over her banks. The deadly poison from the serpent rose up into a mass of foam cresting on the high waves of the river. The cows and coward boys ran away in fear upon seeing these ominous waves rushing towards the banks. Krishna dove so deeply into the river Yamuna that it seemed he went to trample the Patala region of the universe. Krishna sported in Kaliya's lake like a lordly elephant, swirling his mighty arms and making the water resound in various ways. This agitation caused the poisonous water to burst into flames. Unable to bear the vigorous vibrations, Kaliya felt as if his life was being thrashed out of him. Kaliya saw Krishna's beauty surpassing the sublime elegance of a tamal tree. Krishna's eyes looked peaceful and pleasing, and his handsome, effulgent form easily defeated the sweetness of Kandarpa. Seeing Krishna's body covered with fragrant yellow sandalwood pulp easily destroys one's false pride. Despite beholding this wonderful darshan, the envious Kaliya felt Krishna to be the source of an intolerable fever. Shaking with anger, Kaliya furiously lunged at Krishna, bit him on the chest, and attempted to squeeze Krishna to death by completely enveloping him in his mighty coils. Kaliya considered how this person had so brazenly violated his watery domain. Beset with doubt and suspicion about the identity of Krishna, who removes the power of the best of snakes, Kaliya pondered, who is this unknown person who has created such a disturbance, and where has he come from? The proud, impudent, materially attached Kaliya wondered how Krishna, a mere boy, blissful and beautiful with blooming youth, could have so effortlessly subdued the massive Agasura. Finally, he concluded that Krishna must have the ability to expand himself to an unlimited size. Nevertheless, Kaliya tried to smother and crush Krishna by expanding his own body to monstrous proportions. Failing in his endeavor, Kaliya succumbed to exhaustion. On one level, the supremely independent Lord created an inauspicious atmosphere of impending death just to see how much love the Brajabasis had for him and to make them impatient to run to him. But on another level, Krishna, his handsome chest adorned with the glistening Kostuba gem, performed this pastime of being bound by Kaliya just to satisfy his desire to dance on the hoods of the serpent. He merely awaited the approval of his Brajavasi friends and relatives standing on the shore of the river Yamuna. Observing the lord of their hearts trapped in the snake's coils and submerged under the water, the cows and coward boys filled with fear and lamentation. Paralyzed by grief, the coward boys froze in place and held their palms in their foreheads and wept profusely while crying out piteously to Krishna, "Oh, painful! How painful! We cannot bear to live!" Seeing the whole world as void and nearing destruction, they collapsed on the ground. Feeling they had entered an ocean of poison, the coward boys nearly died from the devastating inundation of simultaneously experiencing the 8 symptoms of transcendental ecstasy. Viewing the Brajavasis enduring such misfortune, the demigods, their hair loosened and clothing disheveled, felt their hearts pierced with flaming arrows. In great distress, they called out, "Oh, alas, alas!" The 3 types of fearful omens, namely those on the earth, in the sky, and in the bodies of living creatures, which announce imminent danger, descended upon Vrindavan at that moment. Jackals shrieked harshly at the sun, smoke, and dust as dark as the horns of a buffalo blanketed the sky, and the sun appeared dull and lackluster. High winds howled in every direction, and violent earthquakes shook the earth. Afflicted by the inauspiciousness, the left side of men's bodies, hand, eye, thigh, and the right side of women's bodies trembled. Anxiety seized the atmosphere and disturbed everyone's mind with grief and discontent. Perceiving all these inauspicious omens in his village, Nanda Maharaj and the Gopas understood that a devastating time had assailed the earth. The hostile, unfavorable atmosphere submerged their hearts in the mud of tearfulness. Although they had innumerable experiences of the unlimited majesty of Krishna, due to the covering potency of Yogamaya, they knew only his sweet intimacy. Forgetting about the Lord's omnipotence, they simply worried about the safety of Krishna. While lamenting over the disturbances, some of the learned gopas said, "Oh, how dreadful! Due to negligence and naivety, our innocent Krishna has wandered alone into the dense forest which is infested with various demons that always bring calamities, and he has gone there without the company of his intelligent, powerful elder brother Balaram. Without our beloved Krishna, we cannot live. But since we cannot fathom the actual situation from here, let us invoke good fortune by chanting Shiva, Shiva." Overwhelmed with fear and lamentation, the Brajavasis quickly left their eating and drinking and rushed out intent on finding Krishna. The whole village joined in that procession, from one-year-old babies to elderly men. They followed the path marked by Krishna's footprints, which bore the unique symbols of a flag, barleycorn, thunderbolt, lotus flower, and elephant goad. Nanda and Brajeshri Yashoda, the elderly gopas, and all the children hurried along the path to the bank of the Yamuna River. From a distance, they saw Krishna trapped in the lake, motionless within the coils of the venomous black serpent. Stepping closer, they immediately understood the situation just by seeing the facial expressions of Krishna's friends lying unconscious on the bank. Witnessing this, the Brajavasis succumbed to anguish and confusion. Thus standing on the bank, they felt that they too were drowning in the poisonous lake. Their hearts burned just like a person afflicted by poison. The women fell on the ground like creepers thrown down by a high wind, and the men toppled like uprooted trees. They sprawled out in all directions beside the lake. Filled with panic and shock, Nanda Maharaj cried out in a voice choked with tears, "Oh, my darling son, why have you suddenly done this? Oh, dearest of all, please come back to us." Gripped with lamentation, the coward men fell down unconscious on the ground around the king of Vrindavan. Yashoda swooned with equal distress and sadness. Sympathizing with her and wailing piteously like kurari birds, the elderly gopis collapsed on the ground next to the queen of Vrindavan. At first, the young gopis could neither cry nor lament as they stared at Krishna with unblinking eyes glittering with love. Then their piteous wailing strained the atmosphere, and the downpour of their tears muddied the bank of the Yamuna. Taking shelter in the embrace of the Sakhi of personified unconsciousness, they fell flat on the ground like creepers and trees cut down by a hurricane. Though fainting, the gopis retained their life airs by recounting the pastimes of the beloved of Vrindavan. Even in that miserable state, the gopis somehow maintained their existence. Indeed, intense lamentation permeated the entire atmosphere. Seeing the extent of Krishna's influence, Haladhar Balaram looked on with amazement. Then Balaram said, "O Father, because Krishna is so dear to you, your heart is burning and you are overwhelmed with lamentation. Nevertheless, you need not be in anxiety for this body that is existing due to Krishna's mercy. O Mago, Yashoda, do not cry or lament anymore. Please hear my words and be patient. O Brajavasis, you should not be so grief-stricken now that you have ascertained the extent of the danger. You are unaware of the magnitude of my younger brother's valor, which always increases the joy of others. I am the only one who knows the extent of his transcendental identity. Among the greatest demigods, who understands even a fraction of his opulence? Please be steady in intelligence. For the lion-like Krishna, it is a paltry achievement to subdue the demon Kaliya. Just as the wind cannot conquer a mountain, or as darkness can never cover the sun, or as a clump of reeds can never extinguish a raging forest fire, similarly, Krishna, who wears Makara earrings, is not the least bit afraid of this tiny water snake. Therefore, give up your grief. Any moment now, my brother will finish this lowly snake and come out of the water. You can have complete confidence in my words." By his illusory energy, Krishna bewilders both the demons and the demigods. He possesses unlimited transcendental opulences and has a most elegant form. He relishes his own prowess within and without, and everyone knows his boundless power. To the surrendered soul, he is an ocean of happiness. Therefore, to remove the acute distress of his father, mother, and other relatives, Krishna decided to free himself from the serpent the moment Balaram, who glowed like pure moonlight, finished speaking. and wrapped in the thick coils of that black snake, Krishna looked as exquisite and striking as the full moon embraced by the branches of a dark tree. Releasing himself from Kaliya's clutches, Krishna lifted his lotus face and cast a blissful smile toward the Brajavasis. Conch shells blasted from the assembly house of the demigods. The dundubis pounded, dun, 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 and the berries, kettle drums, reverberated deep rhythms. The thunderous combination of these sounds of victory threatened to break the eardrums of all the listeners. Gradually, the Brajavasis regained their lives upon hearing the auspicious drums of the demigods. As they pushed themselves up from the ground with their arms, they heard that joyous celestial music spreading in all directions and saw Lord Balaram standing nearby. Everyone shivered in fright upon noticing that extremely fierce serpent whose body looked blacker than iron and who spewed foam and sparks from his mouth. The effulgence of the gems on his 100 heads diffused throughout the sky. Sparks that shot from his burning eyes and gaping mouth resembled a pan full of boiling ghee. Raising his hoods, Kaliya pounced on Krishna. The pride-intoxicated Kaliya appeared to be licking the upper limits of the sky with his 200 tongues. To enact yet another playful pastime, Krishna slipped from Kaliya's grip and mounted yet another of his heads, which resembled a garden of large swaying creepers. Pointing towards Krishna, Balaram said, "Look at Krishna! His tender body and eyes, beautified with kajal, appear before you as personified death for the Kaliya serpent. His priceless jeweled ornaments sparkle a million times more than the fiery sparks dancing inside Kaliya's poisonous mouth. Krishna has all the power to finish this demon, and he is artistically dressed with a turban, earrings, yellow cloth, and a fragrant forest garland. His beautiful curling hair is loosened during the fight to free himself from the grip of the serpent. Tightening his cloth, Krishna is revealing a desire to kick down the heads of Kaliya and enjoy a dance there. Look, just to please all of you, Krishna is determined to extinguish the dazzling gems on the hood of the serpent. Krishna's body glows with a desire to dance and diminish the radiance of those jewels. Understand this deeply and try to realize the purport of my words. Do not worry any more about this insignificant calamity." Krishna smiled and relished the mellow of laughter while Baladev spoke. The Brajavasis forgot their lamentation upon hearing Balaram's reassuring words. Although still overwhelmed with fear due to seeing the gigantic size of the king of the snakes, they blossomed with happiness upon seeing Krishna, whose gleaming, joyful eyes looked as pleasing as Kunda flowers. Before enacting his dramatic dance on the hoods of Kaliya, Krishna cast a sidelong glance to enliven his friends and relatives who brimmed with affection and complete attachment to him. Accompanied only by his mind, Krishna displayed amazing skill as the best of dancers and the savior of his devotees. The Siddhas, Kinnaras, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, and other demigods immediately arrived there to show their respect and appreciation for Krishna's unique dance performance. This joyful group of demigods exhibited their talent in music, singing, and dancing by playing sweet melodies on mridangas, mirajas, panavas, and panas. Shri Krishna, the unlimited reservoir of wonder who is expert in all artistic skills, appeared to be cruelly smashing down Kaliya's heads with his feet. But actually, Krishna showed him the greatest mercy. The demigods delighted in the variety of fast, slow, and medium dances shown by the Lord, as they kept time with the right rhythm. The instruments of the demigods softly sounded, tia ta 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 tia, tai tai tai, taya ta ta. They also played loud and high-pitched sounds. The demigods brought out newer and newer melodies by combining different notes, sounds, and rhythms. Responding accordingly, Krishna nimbly stepped from one hood of the serpent to another. The demigods, however, could not keep up with the unique self-styled dancing of the Lord. Krishna, the supreme controller, moved rhythmically on the hoods of the serpent and expertly danced in such a way to crush and suppress each of his hoods. As the beat, drong, 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 drimmy, drimmy, tung, 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 boom faster and louder, Krishna's brilliance increased more and more as he stomped on the serpent's heads. The extraordinary expertise of Krishna's dancing crushed the pride of the Apsaras and Gandharvas. Although feeling embarrassed, they tried their best to keep pace with Krishna. Defeated in their attempt, they just danced delightfully on their own. The resounding sounds of the dundubis, the deep reverberations of kettle drums, the chanting of hymns by the sages, and the showering of flowers from Nanda Kanana exhilarated the Brajabasis and depressed the demons. The ruthless steps of Vanamali Krishna's Tandava dance devastated the serpent. Blood streamed from the Kaliya's mouths. His eyes popped out and his hoods completely collapsed. Seeing their husband vanquished and heartbroken, the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya, felt sorry for him and cried piteously. Out of affection for him, they thought, "Our husband will not survive unless he attains the mercy of the Lord." Abandoning all fear and shyness, the Nagapatnis put their children on their laps and approached Krishna to petition him on behalf of their husband. The Nagapatnis offered prayers to Sri Krishna with sweet voices. "O Lord, all glories to you! O crest jewel on the head of the demigods! Who other than you can be the supreme Brahman? Brahman, Shiva constantly glorify you, the unlimited ocean of transcendental qualities. The yogis and paramahansas happily praise and meditate upon your lotus feet, which are forever massaged by the auspicious lotus hands of Goddess Lakshmi. As a swan extracts milk from a watery mixture, the paramahansas reject the four desirable goals of human life to immerse themselves in the bliss of your service. O Lord, extolled throughout the Vedas, please hear our prayer. O Lord, you are the personification of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. You assume a transcendental body to annihilate all the demons. You are the oldest, the origin of everything, and yet you are an ever-fresh youth. You are the fountainhead of all the Vishnu expansions. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, please give up your anger and show us your mercy. O Vasudev, you are the life-giving Lord of all. O Sankarshan, you remove all the miseries of the universe. O Pradyumna, you are the treasure of love for all the Brajavasis. O Aniruddha, your Yogamaya potency prevents ordinary people from perceiving you. You are the supersoul of all the demigods. Oh, you are the life and soul of the Brajavasis. Be pleased with our prayers, O Lord, for the life of our husband is about to depart. Your lotus feet, which delight the Atmaramas, remove all mental anxieties and are rarely achieved, even in samadhi. They now stand on the hoods of our husband. O Lord, we have no idea how Kaliya has attained such a rare fortune. This wicked snake deserves to be punished. Only by your mercy can one give up his wickedness and follow the righteous path. It is impossible for a living entity to do this on his own. O Lord, you alone maintain the entire universe created by the three modes of material nature, by the mode of goodness, which purifies the mind. You create the world with passion, and by ignorance, which is darker than night, you destroy the creation. O mighty armed, it is by name only that Vishnu, who rides on Garuda, is called the maintainer, and that Brahma, who sits on a lotus, is the creator, and that Shiva, who sits atop Nandi, is called the destroyer. O one who is dear to those who have nothing, living entities appear by different combinations of the modes of nature. Being born in the mode of ignorance, it is natural for a snake like Kaliya to be crooked. As it is impossible to see a flower creeper in the sky, it is also impossible to find gentle behavior or good manners in him. He does nothing good for anyone, and he has no power to overcome your Maya. This is the nature of one who lives in a hole. His actions cannot be considered offensive because that is his very nature. So how can you, who are eternally liberated, the ocean of mercy and full of all opulence, deny him your mercy? You always treat everyone equally, and all your acts convey auspiciousness. Therefore, please quickly show your mercy to our afflicted husband. It does not befit you to kill such a lowly living entity. Even Shiva, Brahma, Lakshmi, and the sannyasis who perform sadhana, meditation, and attentive service cannot understand you. Hence, how can Kaliya, who is bewildered by pride and ignorance, know you? Your playful kicks and dancing on his heads have practically killed him. Although he is a very powerful serpent, he is so weakened that only his life air remains. Indeed, he is cruel and ill-behaved, but nevertheless he is one of your living entities. Alas, we hope that he will not die. Please forgive his offense and return our husband so that we will not become widows." The gentle, beautiful Nagapatnis petitioned the Lord with piteous, choked voices. Krishna responded compassionately by dissipating his anger and reducing the punishment. Smiling sweetly, Krishna replied to the wives of Kaliya, "Do not fear. Although I am very angry, your sweet appeal has satisfied me. As a monsoon shower extinguishes a forest fire, your pleasing prayers have removed my intense anger. As a result, I will spare his life. Now I request you to take your husband and return to your original abode. Since your husband's heads are now decorated with my bliss-giving lotus footprints, Garuda will feel blessed to see them. From now on, you need not fear him." His false pride broken like a person bent over from carrying a heavy mass of iron, Kaliya felt relieved and happy by the Lord's assurance of protection. With fear, devotion, and submission, Kaliya said, "O Lord, with all your opulence you appear in this world to crush the demons and award the treasure of prema to your devotees. As long as the sun and moon remain, your beautiful pastimes will give joy to the minds of your devotees. You always bring immediate auspiciousness to the unfortunate, O abode of compassion. The river Yamuna is the ideal place for your pastimes. Therefore, you have rightly punished me for my offense of poisoning her waters. Who could have shown me more mercy than you? Your dancing has decorated my hoods with the splendid marks of your lotus feet. Now my life has become completely auspicious. O younger brother of Baladev, by your order I will now return to Ramanakal Island. O Supreme Lord of all the demigods, due to some misfortune, I've offended you. O you who wear Makara Kundala earrings, please forgive me for my offensive behavior." Concluding his prayer, Kaliya took out some special jewels from his collection and presented a valuable ruby and pearl necklace to Krishna as a gift. Then he and his family offered obeisances to the Lord and left the Yamuna. Immediately the water transformed into the sweetest nectar. After Kaliya left, the Prince of Braj, who ever enacts fresh and effulgent playful pastimes, climbed up on the bank of the Yamuna. The golden bangles on his lotus hands glistened attractively, and his shimmering dhoti defeated the brightness of lightning.